A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 27th July 2021, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 342. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we will proceed with your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Be of the light, then you can start your meditation. Awareness-based meditation, like the words show, is to develop awareness. There is an inner awareness. When you are aware, there is no thought. The awareness is just that nature which is aware. So for it to arise, your thinking must stop. Otherwise, you cannot be aware. So if you have not trained, then you have to do it. You have to relax body and mind, the first support. Then whatever arises, let it be. So the second support is just maintain awareness, just aware. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. The awareness nature will be there. But initially, you have to be patient because you have not trained your mind. You have not developed the spiritual faculty, so the mental hindrance will be there. You will have your restless thinking mind, the heedless thinking mind. That thought process will continue to arise. Your unfinished thinking or your unfinished activity that you create while you are living life. So all this will condition the mundane mind or thinking mind to continue its thinking process. So meditation is to understand all this, to be patient, to observe all this until the thinking by itself slow down and finally cease. When you don't give it any more meaning, the thinking will slow down and finally cease. Because when you understand, you will know how to do it. When you want to meditate, means you can talk to the thought. Allow me to have the space to train my mind to develop this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness so that I can be in the meditative state, so that I can rest my mind and recuperate, so that I don't have to think. Then when you have this understanding, whatever arises, just ignore it or let it be, just like a silent witness. When you are silently aware, it's like you witness whatever that arises and pass away. Sometimes it can be a thought, it can be a feeling, it can be a conscious moment. The conscious moment can be like the moment of hearing, the moment of bodily tactile sensation, or the moment of smell, taste, or sankhara activity or thought process. Let it arise, and you don't give it any more thought energy or meaning, and it will slow down, it will cease. Like the flower, the very flowering of the flower is the very ending of that flowering. So thought will also flower like a flower, except thought wither off and cease much faster than the flower. Flower, you have to wait for a while. Just when you cut the flower down or you remove it from the plant, then that flower no longer receives any more nutrient to grow. So it will not grow, it will start to decay. But before it decay, it may flower, because the whatever biological thing is already there. Then when it flower, when it reach the peak, it will decay. That's how your thought behave. Initially, it will arise and become like very strong. Then when it reach its peak, it will decay. Then it will wither off. Then finally, it cease. So if every thought you can allow it to cease, then the momentum of thinking, the mundane craving to think or desire to think will cease. With that ceasing, you will start to understand there is another nature within. That is your silent mind, your true mind. Without thought, that nature surface arise. So you have to maintain awareness to be aware of that nature, which is without thought. We call it the awareness nature. So just relax, put your mind completely, be at ease, then let things be, then silence everything. Don't try to know, don't do anything. Then maintain that silence for as long as you can. Then finally, the fourth support is trust that nature to move, to develop the meditation, to observe, to understand, to insight into phenomena. That silent mind will know what to do. When you are stable enough, it can understand many things. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that will help you develop the meditation, that you can make use of this mind state to live life, to continue with your daily mindfulness, to stabilize your mindfulness so that you can develop the meditative understanding in the midst of life. That is most important. We call that the daily mindfulness cultivation. Whatever you do in the midst of life, you are aware, mindful. You are not heedless. You are not lost in thought. So this one you need to train. That's why the form of meditation is to stabilize the awareness, so that it can become a part of your nature. Your mind state most of the time is in that state when you are with your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That one is peaceful, quiet, tranquil, because it's without thought. That one can allow you to understand what that stillness within is. So this is the mind that we are here to develop the training to realize it, so that we understand what it is and we can use it to live life, to develop understanding, to cultivate, to meditate. It is very useful. This mind can revolutionize your understanding of life, can let you see things differently, understand things differently, can allow you to insight into phenomena, to awaken to their universal characteristics, and it can even bring about great transformation leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. The first merit is inconceivable because we are now at the third chapter. The title is the 10 merits. So the first merit is inconceivable. As the source of the way, faith gives rise to merits and virtue. So faith is the first most important merit. This sutra can enable all bodhisattvas who have not yet developed bodhicitta to develop the bodhicitta. So this faith is very important. Without faith, you cannot walk on this path, the bodhisattva way, because without faith, it's going to be extremely difficult. The reason being, faith is the fundamental spiritual faculty, the first and foremost, most important spiritual faculty that can give rise to understanding, merits, cultivation, and everything else. Without faith, you don't have the stamina to go this way. Without faith, there is nothing to drive you. There is no motivation. There is no understanding of how to go this way. So faith is key, most important. And the first thing we have to do is to go on this Bodhisattva way, is to determine strongly to plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, or Bodhi Chitta. Mind is Chitta. So Bodhi is enlightenment, the enlightenment thought, Bodhi Chitta. Chitta is thought or mind, yeah? The mundane mind. So Bodhi Chitta is very important. Planting that seed of Bodhi to arise the Bodhi mind, so that it will nurture and it will bring forth the causes and conditions for the Bodhisattva to continuously have the understanding and the faith to move this way, to go this way. So when we plant this Bodhicitta with understanding, with faith and sincerity, even nature, it will become very beautiful. So I will read on the commentaries. In the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, the Buddha specifically used the 10 merits to gradually guide sentient beings through their spiritual practice. From this verse, we can understand that the source of the way has always been within everyone's mind. If we are able to give rise to the right faith or appropriate correct faith and return to our original nature, we can create inconceivable great merits. So to return to our original nature is to realize our true mind, our silent mind within, our awareness nature. That is our original nature, our true nature, before everything arises. Because this nature of ours, the original nature of Panlaidamianmu, or the true nature within, is the unborn. Because it is the unborn, it was already there ever since the beginning of time. That's why whatever that is unborn never gets sick, never die, will not go through the normal process of getting sick, getting old, and decay, and finally die. That is what we call the eternal nature, which is the unconditioned. Because it's unconditioned, it's not subject to nature's law of old age, sickness, and death. When there is no birth, there is no death. That's why the deathless element can only be realized when you awaken, when you become enlightened. No more delusion. No more delusion, no more avijja. No more avijja, no more rebirth. To be born again in samsara through ignorance. So all this continuous birth and death arise because of ignorance of avijja. When there is avijja, there is a constant stream of birth and death. We call it the cycle of birth and death, samsara. Samsara is unending if we don't have the ability to realize the wisdom, to become enlightened, to awaken. It can never end. That's why samsara can continue for eternity when the mind does not develop the understanding to awaken. So this is a very important understanding. Okay, I'll read on. So I have explained what that original nature or true nature is. Hopefully with that explanation, you can develop the faith and silence your mind to realize that nature, so that you can be one of the very rare beings that can have the understanding of this true mind, true nature, to assess your most precious nature within each and every one of us. Every one of us, we had this gateway to our nature, to our heart area. This is where the source of life force, the karmic force, they arise and pass away from that center of your heart, the area where your heart is, where you can feel your heartbeat, the pulse of life. That is the life force from your karmic nature. That one sustained life. That one trigger off the pulse of life that pumps our heart, creates the heartbeat that pumps our blood all over our body to nourish our organ. That's how we become alive. We can animate into a human being, a living being. There is a sea. This human being is real, is alive, can manifest, can arise, can live life, can go through existence with all the senses, can arise the appropriate sense of consciousness, the thought process, the thinking mind, and all these things. And all this need to be understood. If you cannot have the understanding of who you are, what you are, and what are all this, then you don't understand the secret of life. You don't understand life. If you don't understand life, how can you live life? That is what the Buddha called delusion, ignorance. When you are deluded, you have ignorance. You don't understand the truth, the reality. Not having the understanding is very dangerous. It can lead to a lot of suffering, misery, entanglement as you go through life. So this is most important. That's why you must have right faith to return to our original nature or true nature. And when you are able to live from there, that true mind, you can create inconceivable great merits. You can develop wisdom, awakening. That is the basis of cultivation. From there you move. I read on. The inherent state of the mind is one of freedom and ease. The page is very true. We each have our own consciousness, which never interferes with anyone else. However, the world around us is an illusionary world. And as our illusionary external condition changes, our consciousness follows them. Clinging to what is false has been true, and endlessly starting dispute. Because our mundane mind, with delusion and ignorance, will create all this unending conflict and argument and dispute through mind's ability to divide, to create duality, unending duality. We are unaware that everything only exists in the fleeting instance between arising and ceasing. So this statement is very profound, because living beings, even human beings, most of us are unaware that everything only exists in the fleeting instant between arising and ceasing. How many of you can understand this? If you can understand this, means you have wisdom. You are able to comprehend clearly the mind. Who are you? What are you? What is this fleeting instant? Like I used to explain to you all, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? So we have gone through all this. We have developed the understanding through meditation, through contemplation, and through understanding the reality. So every moment when we exist or we live life, what is happening? So I always make things simple for people to understand. We talk about life. We talk about existence. So what is life? What is existence? To live life is to go through existence, true or not? Otherwise, we cannot live life. So when we go through existence, we have to understand what is existence. So existence is basically life itself. And existence is time-based. When we go through life, we go through existence, we are actually related to time. So the whole spectrum of time can be defined by three periods of time, which we have already developed the understanding. There is a past, which is not a reality, it's already gone. Then there is a future that has yet to come. Then there is the present moment, which is the reality happening within life, within existence. That's the reason why I say life passes by. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you aware of life? Are you living life? Or are you just conscious of life and existed to life? Like the famous Hokkien saying by Reverend Suwano in the early days, I remember. In the early 80s when I heard this Hokkien Dhamma talk, he used the word gong gong toa, gong gong lai, gong gong si. So you grow up with ignorance, then you are born with ignorance. Then everything you do in between is all with ignorance, delusion. That's why gong gong lai, gong gong toa, gong gong xia, gong gong si, everything also gong. Means a heedless human with delusion. But if we are truly serious about life and you want to understand life, then we have to understand all this. Life equals existence. Existence is time related, and time can be defined. The complete spectrum of time is just past, present, and future. Of these three, we have to inquire, which is the reality? Of course, like I explained just now, the past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality in life is the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? The moment I speak about it is gone. That's why immediately the moment arises, passes away. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? How real can existence be? Moment to moment, they arise and they pass away. Split second is dead and gone. That's why life, existence, every phenomena that arise during the moment, they pass away. Depending on condition, they arise, and depending on condition, it sustains itself, then it ceases, and it passes away. So there is the universal characteristics of impermanence. When you see that, you will come to know everything is just the way it is, following the nature's law of cause and effect, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Not what you think. If it's impermanent, it means it goes the way of nature. It follows nature's law. When you want things your way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, you will suffer. You will have conflict, misery. You will have problems. Because that is the only reality. Conditions are that, things will are that, can't be otherwise. Or otherwise. You want things your way, which is not allowable under nature's way, then you have to force it. You are in conflict. That's why you create stress. You create negativity. Without wisdom, you cannot accord and flow. So all these are understanding. And because it's impermanent, lead to suffering, then what is life? Empty nature. No reality. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity where we can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine, just like all form and mind, this human being. See it, realize it, silence your mind, and observe clearly, who are you? What are you? What is this mundane mind, consciousness all about? How come the physical body has its senses, and upon contact of the mundane mind with the sense basis and the respective sense data, it can trigger off sense door consciousness. We can become conscious of life, conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Is that the entire existence? Is that what we really are? Or is there something beyond the mundane mind, beyond the form and mind, beyond the conscious mind? Is there a nature that is beyond form and mind, beyond thought, beyond time, the timeless, the unborn, the unconditioned? All these are very important understanding. So now I go back to the sutra and you will understand why the sutra says so. So just now it was mentioned, the inherent state of the mind is one of freedom and ease. We each have our own consciousness, which never interfere with anyone else. So this is basic understanding. However, the world around us is illusionary. Why is it illusionary? And as our illusionary external condition change, our consciousness deemed to delusion and ignorance, follow them, cling on to them, cling on to what is false has been true, and endlessly starting dispute. We are aware that everything only exists in the fleeting instant, and this is what I mean. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And this is the fleeting instant. Every moment, thought arise. Every moment, phenomena arise. As real it can be, is only within the moment. Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. How real it can be? How real can it be? That's why it's fleeting instant between arising and ceasing. Everything come and go. And that is the only reality. If that is so, then what is life? How real can life be? It's momentary. Arises and pass away. And that is the only reality. Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. Everything just come and go, within your consciousness, within your awareness. Without awareness, you cannot understand all this. You cannot penetrate all this. You cannot realize all this. You need to be completely silent to realize that nature. to understand the unreality of life and existence. That's why the Buddha knew the teaching clearly points towards the illusionary world, the phenomenal world of consciousness. The only reality is the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Arise and pass away. So see, understand it. Do not be deluded by it. This is very profound. If you can understand this, you can realize enlightenment. You can awaken to the truth and the reality of life and existence. Okay? Hopefully with this, you can develop deeper understanding of life. Then I read on. All things in the world are constantly undergoing infinitesimal changes. They are all empty and without appearance. Now you can understand all this. Thus, all things composed of the four elements originate interdependently and are empty in nature. The earth element, water element, fire and wind element. Or here they call it air. It's actually a wind element. They only arise through condition. Similarly, sentient beings are born following their karmic causes, conditions, effects, and retribution. So we also go through the arising and ceasing of birth and death. This will refer to our thought, birth and death of every thought that arise and pass away, every consciousness that arise and pass away. So the arising and ceasing of the birth and the death of every thought is the one that we have to be aware. That's why it's anatta, oneself. He know you, he know me. It's that thought that arise and pass away, you can never be in it. If it's you, you should die with it, isn't it? But how come you didn't die? Our aggregate of mind is the same. Feeling come and go, you never die. Perception come and go, you never die. Your thought, your emotion, your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your joy, your peace, they come and they go. You didn't die. Consciousness that arise, come and go. Every moment of seeing, within that moment, after that is dead and gone. Then the next sense or consciousness arise. So every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process, consciousness arise and pass away. But you didn't die. So who are you? What are you? If the mind that gives rise to feeling, perception, mind state, consciousness, thought process, they come and they go and you didn't die, then they are not you. Thought is not you. Emotion, anger is not you. Feeling is not you. Then why do you hold on to this thought process, thinking that they are real, thinking that you are a human being that can arise this thought process? There is a thinker behind the thought. When you meditate and silence your mind to investigate, you realize all these are false, not the reality. There is no thinker behind the thought. Thought just arise and pass away. And there are causes and conditions for thoughts arising. If you want to find out, you have to silence your mind to meditate, to understand the origin of thought. How did thought arise? I can give you some hint. When you are just born as a child, how come the child got no thought? And how come later on when he receives all the conditioning, all the things that the environment and the people that look after the kid, introduce, to the kid those conditions, then the kid starts to accumulate memories, starts to learn things, learn how to talk, how to use words, how to develop speeches, how to develop the thinking mind, then how to become conscious of what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactile feel and think. That is the beginning of life. Then after that, the baby learn. You teach them, this is papa, mama, this is sweet, this is sour, this is nice, this is not nice. Then a lot of conditioning will come in. Then you teach them how to read ABC, remember things. That's how the memory develops. Then the memory become more and more sophisticated, and later on become like cluttered. Then now the conditioning from our society, our environment, the impact is so severe compared to the early years of civilization. During my era, things were slow moving. Now we have the IT revolution, industrial revolution, commerce, banking, everything has become so much more sophisticated. That's why the child now, when they are born, most of them are exposed not only to color TV like our time, or black and white during my time. The younger generation, they are exposed to all the very powerful computers, handphone, and even iPad and other things, internet. IT has revolutionized our society and our civilization. Then now we have AI. We have a lot of other new inventions that the human mind find it difficult to understand and grasp, unless you are the later generation, like the millennium generation or the younger generation, the generation X and Y after 1980 and 90. Then 2000 and beyond. So you have the Generation X, Generation Y, and the Millennium Generation. So these are the new era of kids that can understand our present civilization better. But you are born before that, the baby boomers years, like myself, of the 50s and the 60s. You have to learn all this. It's pretty interesting to be able to live through that phase of the 50s and the 60s, where we are still very primitive in terms of understanding the world, science and technology. And after that, I got to witness the beginning of civilization's evolution, the 70s, the 80s. 80 onward is the boom, the technological boom, the IT revolution. Then we also have the industrial revolution during the 80s, the 70s, the 80s, coming into the 90s. Yeah. I remember the early 80s was the start of computer, color TV, I don't know what I'm saying, and also the IT revolution. Then of course the 90s and the year 2000 and beyond, they are fast moving. Everything happens so fast. So what I am trying to let you understand is, we are so conditioned by our society, our education, our environment, our media. We have the social media now. Earlier on is the newspaper, the books, and all those that human being has created. So if we look at all this, our brain has to absorb all this, commit to memory a lot of things. You need to study them. You need to record them. So our brain nowadays has to be very different, very active. We have to use it in life. And there are so many aspects to life where we use our memory. But human beings probably, we use it wrongly. Thought is useful for technological thing, to develop understanding, to learn the science, the maths, the logic, the understanding part, to study. But thought is limited. Thought is egoic. Thought is deluded before you are enlightened. So you cannot use thought in certain areas. You cannot use thought to try to solve your psychological problem, your emotional problem. Your thought can never understand. It is limited, evil. It will create conflict, problem, duality. Then you can also, you also will come to realize later on when you go into the spiritual field to develop meditation, you realize you can never use thought to develop the meditation. Because what is meditation? When you develop meditation, is to realize your true mind, to realize your true nature, to understand the reality, to awaken, to realize the enlightenment, which is beyond thought, beyond time. So if your instrument is thought, how can you realize a state which is beyond thought, beyond mind? Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is akaliko, the Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and now before you die. The Dhamma is akaliko means it's timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So the instrument of thought cannot be used to develop wisdom, meditation. You can use it to develop knowledge. A lot of knowledge. Yes, thought is very good at that. That's why to learn, to do maths, to do science, to do IT, to do all those logical things, mathematical things, scientific things, in the field of science, the physical law, biological order, all of other nature's law, you need to use thought. Yeah, that is very useful. Then to remember important things like our name, our bank signature, our address, our handphone number, our loved one's contact, and all that one you need thought, because these are basic things without emotion, without psychological emotion behind. But when it comes to mental problem, mental suffering and misery, conflict and argument, you cannot use thought. Thought can only reason, create more conflict, more division, more duality. Then we end up arguing, right and wrong, good and bad, having views, opinion, and conditioning. That is what thought is all about. So meditation is to unravel this secret, to understand the purpose of thought. Thought has its place and its purpose in life is very useful. That's why you must know how to use thought correctly, appropriately. That's why the Buddhist teachings say you must have right understanding or right view to arise the right thought. Otherwise, thought will become wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory. All these are created by thoughts. Thought recall and project arises fear, creates worry, anxiety, and make you restless. This is what thought is all about. So for psychological matter, problem, situation, you cannot use thought. If you use thought, you will have big problem. The thought basically is knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is rigid. Knowledge creates reality. Knowledge is limited. Knowledge based on thought is egoic. So wisdom is an awakening. It's an understanding where you need to silence to realize, to awaken to. So that is the fundamental difference. That's why we need to meditate to understand all this. Then we are not confused. Then we can move. We can transform and become a better human being. Okay, so this part hopefully is recorded. Yeah? Then you all can maybe listen to it attentively and develop deep understanding of who you are, what you are, and what life is all about. Well, today one is very, very important and much more comprehensive than what I used to share and explain earlier. So you make use of it. Okay, I will read on. Because we sentient beings do not understand these principles, we are often attached to our sense of self, that's why the ego, which is not a truly existing self because it's not a permanent and changing entity. Think about this. If our mind are changing constantly, sometimes seeking this, sometimes craving for that, we will not be able to live in harmony with others, and we will take issue over every little petty things. All of this arises from our mind because we are tempted by external conditions. Our desire arises, and this feeling causes us to lose balance in our mind. It gives rise to the duality of like and dislike. Once our mind are deluded by appearances into pursuing them, we will take action. We will create karma. The karma we create returns to our consciousness, which leads to the seed of this karma being repeatedly multiplied and reproduced. This is very true. Thus, we give rise to ignorance continuously and bring it with us into all our subsequent lifetime. And as human beings, we have our own views, opinion, conditioning, preference. That's why we have like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant experience of life. Then we cling, we attach, where we only like the pleasant one. We only like those that are conducive, appropriate, according to our liking. That's why we attach and we cling. Then whatever we don't like, we develop the negative tendency towards it. That's why we can have aversion, dislike, envy, jealousy, unhappiness. When we cannot get what we want, when things don't go our way, we become unhappy. We develop negative tendency. We want to push away such condition, and we only cling on to good life, good condition, good moments. When things go our way, we are very happy. We are very joyful. So it's very true and prevalent in life. Everywhere you go, you can see. But the problem with human being and living being is most of the time they are not happy, not peaceful. They react to life so much so they never live life. They think a lot, they worry a lot. That's why they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Most people who don't meditate, who don't have this Dhamma understanding, they are lost. because they think a lot, they worry a lot. That's why I always use this phrase, moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? Are you living life? Are you conscious of life? Or are you mindful of what is going on? Are you aware? Human beings' problem is, moment to moment, they are always lost in thought, busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life most of the time. When things don't go your way, when you have unfinished business or issue or unresolved things, you start to develop fear, worry, anxiety, the lack of peace. Then that thinking, that planning, that fear, anxiety, they constantly haunt the living being. They are seldom peaceful, seldom happy. When a person, a human being has problem, you ask him to think of happy thing or the joyful thing and be happy, you try. He can't. When there is something haunting him or worrying him, he cannot be with the moment in silent awareness to be peaceful and happy. You go and find out on your own. Living being has this problem. That's why whenever they have problem, they become miserable, afflicted. And you can ask all those who have gone through life. They will tell you, where got such thing as no problem? The whole world is full of problem, especially under the career environment when you are working. Within your family, your own personal life, there is a lot of conflict, a lot of unresolved issue and problem. And as they go through life, as they experience life, they entangle a lot of this issue and problem. And the only instrument that they know how to use is the thought. And without the Dhamma understanding, without this meditative understanding and wisdom, they get themselves entangled. Some develop depression, insomnia, suicidal thought. All this arise. Why? Because they don't understand life. They cannot see all this arising and passing away. So this understanding is very useful, very important. Eh? So I may have to maybe cut short this a bit. Eh? It's already 9:35. Thus, we give rise to ignorance continuously and bring it with us into all our subsequent lifetime. Life is impermanent. By now, you should understand all this. Eh? Human life or human lifetimes are painfully short. Just now, I was explaining it. One day, you may be born in Tawatinsa heaven. So, one day in Tawatinsa heaven is equivalent to 100 years in the human realm. Just imagine. The few decades of human life is not even a day for a being who lives in the Tawatinsa heaven. But during our brief lifespan, the karma we create and the five aggregates of form and mind, or form, feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness connect with external condition, will cause our three evils of greed, hatred and delusion, including arrogance and doubt, to be endlessly perpetuated. With constant afflictions, we will be trapped in the cyclical existence, samsara, continuously transmigrating within the sixth realm. So sixth realm is the 31 plane of existence, Liu Tao Lun Hui, or the sixth realm of cyclical existence. However, though each lifetime is brief and impermanent, within this impermanent and emptiness, there is wondrous existence. So this is the Heart Sutta. Eh? So don't always complain. Eh? Life is suffering. Life is not real. Life is unreal, impermanent, non-self, He know you, he know me. But then, if you truly understand mind, when you understand the condition and the conditioned world, then there is such thing as wondrous existence. That's why in the Heart Sutra, he said, in true emptiness, when you realize truly the profound wisdom of the unconditioned, then you can understand life. You can live life to the fullest. That's why life becomes wondrous existence. Existence becomes meaningful, wonderful. And there is such thing as life, even though it's within the moment, like very transient. Moment to moment, that is the only reality. But there is such thing as life, existence, as having a form and mind that can live life, experience life to the fullest, that can live life to the fullest. Then life take a turn, life become meaningful, wonderful. Then we can experience all of the beauty, the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Every moment, every instant, that pristine beauty within existence, within that moment, can be wonderful. When we are just aware without thought, that is the most wonderful life to live. That's why to the Zen, the meditator, having a cup of tea in full awareness is Zazen meditation. And when you are fully conscious or aware of that thinking, that taste, that drinking, that tea, that moment where you have the awareness to be fully aware of the pristine beauty and wonders of that taste, that consciousness, the awareness, that is living life. Where during that moment there is peace, there is tranquility, there is sensitivity, there is full awareness of the reality. There is no thought, no duality, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. The mind is just tranquil, still, peaceful, and fully aware without the movement of thought. That is life. That is wondrous existence. So this is the meaning. Our intrinsically pure and wondrous Buddha nature can give us this understanding for us to really live life. Since we have had the causes and conditions to come into the existential world, we should make good use of this temporary composite of the four elements, yeah, that makes up our physical body. That's why the physical form. We must use this illusionary vessel to cultivate what is true and attain enlightenment. Everyone has the same Buddha nature. The first merit is inconceivable in that it helps us see that we have limitless potential. As long as we return to the source of the way with the right faith and right mindfulness, we will have the power to engage in spiritual cultivation. So this is most beautiful. Eh? That's why you must have faith and mindfulness. This sutra can enable all bodhisattva who have not yet developed bodhicitta to develop bodhicitta. So the sutra of infinite meaning comes from the home of all Buddhas, and this spiritual home in their mind is filled with the wealth of infinite meaning. The sutra then goes to where sentient beings develop bodhicitta, means the enlightenment thought. It enables all bodhisattvas, even those who have not yet formed aspiration, to develop the bodhi mind, bodhicitta. Okay, we will stop here. Then we will open up for meditation reporting.
Brother Teo, good evening. I just want to let other people, let all the guys, Mita, knows that especially nowadays, the COVID is increasing rapidly. I think we have the first line of support among all. It's like, you know, I think yeah. Sister Pamasuri has initiated a very good, you know,
COVID-19, we call it what,
to boost up the immune system.
This one is not harmful. This one, I think anybody can take as a precaution. So Pamasuri has very kindly and generously donated 100 packages as free for whoever among our community who wants it. You find out on the instruction as how to use it, because he has the contact. I think the nephew and the niece, they are TCM practitioner. They are very good, and they have a medical shop in access to near my house, and they are good. My wife used to go there and buy things too, and they have this COVID-19 treatment too. If you really have COVID-19, they have the Chinese medication. So go to that WhatsApp. I think that the website was just set up on here.
Yeah, they haven't announced to the group.
Haven't opened to all. Announced. Yeah. So we let them do it. I think Sui An is guiding her. I asked her to contact Sui An and you to arrange for all this. Then whoever who has anything that can help out can also put through that WhatsApp group. Then I think if we need to, which I believe we can, if the thing pick up and people need more, our KM Tafan can also make a donation. Then we can buy some of this useful thing. So I will ask Sian to maybe donate about 1,000 RM, see whether we can buy how many of it. Then slowly, we use it as a charitable project to help people.
Brother Teo, sorry, Chin Hao, is Pamasuri talking about the one in the powder form?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And I think the other person is like Brother Sui An, he's very resourceful as well. So anything regarding the COVID, you know, he's also a person that you can liaise with. And of course, the other one is Brother Teo. For any people want to know more about how homeopathy can treat COVID, you can let me know as well. I can refer you all to my friends. My sister is a very good, successful case. You see? We need to set up our own support team. You see? I think so. Not to
we
panic.
We can also get Dr. Janta to come on stream because he is good in homeopathy and he is also a doctor by profession.
Of course,
so his advice is very good. So keep him in the group and make him an administrator too.
So just to let everyone know about this, is it? That's all what I want to share, is it?
Yes, good evening.
Thank you, Mrs. Teo.
Yes.
And all Kayanamitas.
Yeah.
I would like to share some incidents. Actually, I have not really reflected because this thing happened to me, to us recently. Maybe I share that later on. Want to share some of my my cultivation. My cultivation. I'm more diligent in a way, recently.
Your last reporting was very good. You do the religious routine, the daily religious routine, and you are able to do the awareness-based meditation. So that one you should continue and develop it evolving.
Yes, this.
Mm.
Yeah. So actually, why drive me to cultivate? Recently I listened to the sharing the pointers that shared by Brother Song.
Yeah.
So that is Infinite Sutra of Infinite Meaning, number 42. His pointers is very good, you know. Number 42, 51, and 55.
Oh, sadhu.
So that's how I started, lah. Because otherwise, I think Dharma is so wide. I know it's so beautiful. So I just don't know how to start. So from the pointers, from his pointers, I think it really gave me a clear direction.
Yeah, that one is very important. You need some condition to motivate you to cultivate, to go into it seriously. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
And that is we go back to the basic.
Yeah.
And we do religious routine every day.
The one most important,
Yeah, and I started doing Bodhisattva Vow. So from the Bodhisattva Vow, then suddenly I realized that, oh, that is the way that we walk the Bodhisattva way.
Yeah.
So I just follow, you know, I can just follow the Bodhisattva Vow, the yellow card, you know.
Yes.
Exactly how we want to cultivate.
Yes. It's very complete.
It's very complete.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm doing now, lah.
Very good.
Slowly, I'm walking into this Bodhisattva path.
Sadhu. Very good. No wonder you can develop that type of progress and understanding. The way you describe the awareness-based meditation that you develop is very good. From there, you will continue to progress and understand more and more.
Yeah. Now it's just the beginning for me.
Yeah. That's why awareness-based meditation is so different from the conventional thought-based. Conventional thought-based, they only interested in the experience or the peace, the bliss, and all those things. But what happened within the silence, they cannot understand. Because thought-based meditation cannot realize the silent mind, cannot realize the nature within. They can't even differentiate between the two minds. That's why a lot of people find it so difficult to understand meditation, to cultivate. So we have to start, like Hui Ning said, even Bodhidharma also said, start with mind, sing wei gen ben. That's why the Buddha also said, is that our minds are four and all things might achieve. When mind arise, everything arise. So the first thing we need to train ourselves is to be heedful. Then his Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 comes in and becomes very important understanding. So when you understand all this, you will know how to start. Heedfulness is the most important. And to be heedful, we have to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, we must train our mind to be silent, to realize the sati within, the mindfulness within, the awareness within. So that one is the beginning of training. That is mindfulness. When there is no thought, you are just aware. Awareness before the knowing, that is mindfulness. So awareness is actually mindfulness. So when you are able to stabilize that awareness or that mindfulness, then you become ever mindful. That is the beginning of heedfulness. Well, heedfulness as defined under Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the supreme, born free, enlightenment, Nibbana. means you are destined for enlightenment in the here and the now. So these are the important definition and understanding. So first train the mind to be aware, stabilize it, then use it to meditate. This is awareness-based meditation, silent everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything, just aware until it's stabilized. Then you will start to understand what that mind is, what that true mind, that true nature is without thought. That mind is so beautiful. That's why normal human being cannot understand that nature, cannot realize that nature. That's why they cannot meditate. And that is the first hallmark of winning. Wu nian means no thought. The first hallmark is to realize that state of no thought, which is just awareness nature within, silent, completely tranquil, still. To do that is not easy. That's why you have to train. You have to have the understanding. Then you will know how to be patient, to silence your mind, to see, observe silently, quietly, how the thought slow down and finally cease. Then how it returns to its original state before the stirring, before the arising of thought, before the mind stir and react to sense experience, before thinking arise. So this is the real meditation, not the one with the instruction, the method and the technique. Not this, not that, focus this, focus that, do this, do that. That one is making the thought active. So this one is different. Relax, maintain awareness, silent. So by doing that, it deconditions your heedless thinking and bring you back to your true mind, your silent mind. Then when you can realize the shift in consciousness that lead to that stillness or silent mind, that is the beginning of understanding, beginning of the true awareness-based meditation. So all these are very important understanding, and you can do it already because you understand. So listening to Dhamma help. That's why the few pointers that you mentioned, how Brother Song shared in the lesson 41, 42, and 51, 52 onwards, especially 55. 55 is very good. The transcript book is going to come out soon because I have finished my editing. Now I'm checking to the last proofreading because Sister Po Cheng and Ying Bi, they are very helpful. They help me to do the proofreading, help me resolve most of the proofreading that I need to resolve. So whatever that is balanced is just to smoothen the flow of language and make it easier for people to read and comprehend. So once the one come out, I will share it one more time. Then once the book come out, you can have a copy. Read through it slowly and develop the clear understanding. It can help a lot of cultivators, a lot of kayamitas to understand the real awareness-based meditation. We are inside that talk. I gave very detailed sharing. And the Q&A also very beautiful sharing by Brother Song. And we should thank all the four who help in the transcript. Dr. Janta, who did the first part on awareness-based meditation, and later on another one or two part on the adapter verse. Then Sister Ying Bi also did a very good job. Then Po Cheng also same. And also Paulian, Chiu Paulian. I think she helped out to do the transcript for the section by Brother Song, the sixth patriarch. Discussion on the short video by sixth patriarch and the nun and also the monk and also the disciple of sincere. These are all very beautiful, profound sharing. And within the sharing, I explain a lot of things. So hopefully when the thing is ready, maybe by this week or latest, I will send it out for relative to finalize the print copy. Then depend on when the MCO can be opened up. Then when the printer can print, we will print it. And at the same time, I can give a what we call the file copy, the soft copy to Sui so that she can put into the our this Zoom in our no for the sharing Zoom. No, the website later, the Zoom first. For our Zoom sharing first. Then when the book come out only, I put it into the website. That's better because the website one will have the finalized copy of the PDF and Word file that Brother Tim will come out with and Jin Hao can convert it to e-publishing, I think, for people to read as e-book and all this thing. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, I'll see. Very good. You can continue. Sorry for taking up some of your time.
No problem. Yeah. So actually this awareness-based meditation, the mind state is very, I mean, at this stage, the mind state is very beautiful when I relax, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You experience relax. The peace within the tranquility, the stillness. Then you experience another mind, which is completely beyond what most so-called Buddhists or cultivator can realize. But they never even come near to this mind. They can't even understand what is this mind. Awareness-based meditation that realizes the two mind within our forming mind. And that one is very, very beautiful. You continue.
I just asked, how can that be so peaceful?
Yeah.
So still, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just the beginning for me. I have
It's already very good. Well, this one is a free mind in stillness. Completely silent without thought.
So tranquil, you know.
Yeah. Seldom realized by people. Because it's a
very beautiful. Yeah.
It's not a mind under concentration or in conditioned state of concentration. Means they fix it, they focus and they concentrate. It's a no. It's a free mind. When you understand, you just let things be. Then it will flower and it will cease. Then it becomes quiet on its own. Still means that true mind has returned. There is no more sankhara activity, no more movement, no more thought process, no more thinking, no more agitation, no more doubt, no more anxiety, no more fear, no more duality, nothing, just aware. And that is meditation. That is what that true mind is. That is what that nature is. It's so beautiful and people cannot understand because people do not have the understanding to do this type of meditation. That's why I say this type of teaching is very rare. This type of teacher is very rare. You can hardly find them. Most of them are involved with method, technique, and even Dhamma, knowledge-based, thought-based. Seldom awareness based. Yeah, Elsie, you can continue. Yeah, Father, very good.
So it's just the beginning. I need to put more effort.
Yeah, definitely. But it's already a good start. That's why my nature rejoins. More and more Kayamita now sees the importance of all this training, cultivation. and able to slowly move into the cultivation, the daily mindfulness, the religious routine. Even Mi Feng told me she started many months ago. Manager, you know, that's why all those who go into this, they will progress very fast. You must develop the daily religious routine, then stabilize your daily mindfulness, then stabilize your awareness nature within.
Yes. Yes. Maybe I relate. There's one that something happened, happened in my office. So last Monday.
Yes.
So EMCO lifted last Monday, right?
Yes.
Was it last Monday?
Somewhere around there.
I think just before last Monday.
Yeah.
So we received a message from our boss, you know.
Yeah.
So asked us to go back to resume work lah. Asked us to go back to work immediately on Monday. We received that message on Monday.
Okay.
So then one of the Malay staff, she told that we are not supposed to work lah because we are still under PRN phase one. We are not under essential service or so. So and we cannot get meeting letter. Anyway, my boss wanted us to start work immediately. So he posted the message, he sent a message in the group. So after that, that Malay staff informed him of this thing, you know. So then we can't do anything lah because he insists that we want to work, we gotta work, you know.
So but you can have this work from home one, isn't it? I think work from it's not against the rule. It's only you cannot maybe open up your office if it's not under the essential service and all. But a lot of sector has been given the approval. They have actually loosened the condition.
We have to apply the MITI letter as well.
Then
if without meeting letter, we cannot start work.
Maybe now there is a way out. The recent parliament debate, they say the darurat or emergency, don't know what, they have revoked the thing. So since that day, 23rd or what, they have revoked it. So all those things that they implement, like the meeting letter, all those things, the MP asked the speaker, if there is revolt, then how can all these things still apply to the people?
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a gray area now. I don't know.
But today I saw somewhere it's not revolt yet.
No, revolt already. That law minister, the in charge, that Takiyaki or the law.
Yeah, they mentioned it's not
revoked. No. He said it's revolt. Is revoked. He said. Then he was questioned left and right. Why didn't inform the people?
Yeah, nobody knows about it.
Yeah, nobody knows about it. Then they asked the last 5 days when this was revoked. All this fine, all this whatever MITI letter requirement, or there is no meaning anymore because they cannot just continue without the Act of Parliament to approve all these things. So I think they are having some problem. So it's good that Parliament has reconvened and a lot of questions has been raised, and things are, I think, getting better, because without all this, nobody bother. They can just say on their side of the story. But when it comes to real happening, the reality is totally the reverse. The situation is worse and like in a mess. It's just like Saisi mentioned, and some of the MP. He said, You give a very beautiful picture, recovery, phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four.
Mm.
But what is happening is before the emergency power, the case was so low, I think Anu also mentioned. Then now the case has shot up, shoot through the roof, and nothing has been done. And all these are words, promises. But the people on the ground are suffering. The country is suffering. And looks like they cannot handle things. We know a lot of things like has gone out of hand and they don't know what is going on. Then their policy keep on flip-flop and all those things. So we need really the parliament to question all this and make sure everybody is on the watch out to deliver what they're supposed to deliver. And they got such a big cabinet, so highly paid. So they have to work. So this is maybe Raya's time to go into all this. So for your office, your boss, finally, what's the decision?
So because nobody, when he posted, then nobody replied. Because actually by right, we can't work, you know?
Yeah.
So then my colleague also called me. Then nobody answered him. Then he also have to be very careful to tackle this problem because then he get all the Chinese to go back, ask all the Chinese to go back. I was not aware of that. So my colleague called me. So and then then I felt that I have to do something, you know. So then I just told my colleague, okay, I will write because nobody wants to reply.
So
I spontaneously I say I will write. After I put down the phone, then I think, what am I going to write? So I told my colleague that I will write. So after that, then I say, what am I going to write? Okay. So I just silent my mind, you know. Then I just start writing, you know. I write one whole page, you know.
Must be very beautiful. Yeah.
Then after that, once I posted this reply, then everybody came out and supported me. Everybody agree with LC.
Very good. That is solve your office problem. Yeah,
in a way, then I look at it. So in a way, I'm like mitigate the situation for both parties, my boss and the
staff.
So everybody also happy at the end.
Yeah. That's why you will have the ability to resolve all this amicably so that everybody is happy. That everybody can, based on consensus, agree on the solution. Very good. Sadhu to you. I know how to silence your mind. Very good.
Then I didn't know how I write that. Then I look, I read the, I refer back the message. So I actually also I send some greetings to everybody. You know, long time we didn't see each other. One and a half month.
Haven't catch up. Haven't meet up.
So actually, no news from everyone is good news, actually, at this time.
Very good, Sadhu.
So we started work, you know, we went back. Then my boss actually wanted us to start work immediately. We put it in a nice way. We wanted to start work on Wednesday. Because it's too short the notice, then happy to start work. Anyway, 1.5 months, we closed the office. I think that's a long time, you know, for a company.
Not easy to sustain.
It's true. We are prepared to go back to the office as well.
Actually, this round of lockup is too long. 1.5 months, no solution, and the case become worse.
Exactly.
This is wasting a lot of people's precious work hour and economic activity. So we really have to develop better condition to move and maybe come out of all this. So what they have failed, which they have admitted, is the vaccination rate. They didn't do it. If they have done it fast, all this would have been resolved. Like all the office that wants to start work or have 50% of its strength, go for vaccination. And you must have enough vaccine for people and enough facility to cater for all this. So at least with the vaccination, they can open up the economy. Because this is something other country has done. Like UK is completely free. And UK is very controversial in this sense because it's a good test case. Because they have the statistics that people who are vaccinated, the case rate is so much lower and the hospitalization and death rate is so low. That's why most of it, even our new cases here, the statistics also show the same. Those who got all this problem, most of them are not vaccinated. Then for those who are vaccinated, the percentage that is involved is now the hospitalization has dropped to about 1.5% like that, which is so much lower than the original 8%. So based on that, and also the vaccinated percentage within those category of 1.something%, I should say only 20% of the vaccinated people are inside that 1% over. And most of them are maybe stage 3 and stage 4. They don't have to be in one of the stage 5 case. So all these are very positive. So vaccination is one of the solutions. And they must tackle the contact tracing, the cluster. They must actually resolve zoom in critical sector like construction, industry. It's very easy to get 80% of the staff to get themselves vaccinated. Then you will have the group immunity. The group immunity is very vital. And in fact, most of the companies, they are willing to get their staff for vaccination if the government has the vaccine. So all this can speed up the economic activity and the way people go about doing their work and all this thing. Then you can help to bring back the economy. More people will be able to get their job, their salary, their income. And the country's economy can turn around, especially manufacturing. We have a lot of industry that can bring in a lot of revenue and foreign exchange, especially the glove industry and some of the tech semicon industry and even the plantation sector, obviously. That's why you must have a good government that can look into all this and very focused and get it resolved. So whatever it is, just let things be. Because it has developed into such a situation. But at least now we can see some light at the end of the tunnel because Parliament has opened up and more debate, more suggestion, more understanding will put pressure on the existing government to move. Otherwise, they have to come up with alternative. So things will evolve. I think it will turn for the better. So your company, Yuan, I really rejoice with your ability to help out. So suddenly you will see, yeah, silence your mind. That is a very good explanation and expression. Because I had personally during the early days of my cultivation, I resolved a lot of very critical situation, problem and even office thing and all those things, because I know this type of awareness-based meditation, I didn't react or panic and get emotional or fearful. No, I just silenced my mind. Then I reflect, I contemplate. How can I move? How can I resolve this amicably? How can this thing be understood and shared with people so that all this thing can be resolved amicably so that nobody get hurt? And this is how we can become a blessing to all. Then later on, when I came out to work for the private sector to test myself, I also have the ability to resolve a lot of issues and things. That's why at that time, I remember my office like me, my boss like me, and even my client like me. Sometimes they just call me over and help them to look at things and resolve things. Of course, in return, they tell my boss, if you let Theo handle the job, then they will appoint my company for the consultancy work. So that's how it was so beautiful. And after I joined the private sector, they get a lot of job. Then later on, my last destination was listed company, corporate sector, which also I did very well. And I helped the company to make a lot of money too. And whatever area of diversification that they run into, I managed to help them build it and develop it. Mm. So these are very useful sharing, and it can help people. That's why this type of Dhamma and meditation is very useful in life, and it can bring forth solution to worldly problems, to career problem, to job environment's problem, to even the family unit's problem. You can apply it and use it to solve a lot of world-related problems. So all these are beautiful, Elsie. Thank you. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, that's not the end of the story yet.
Yeah, continue. Yeah, we will hear your story. Good.
So actually, 6 weeks when passed, you know, so we look at the cases, there's no improvement and yet it gets worse. So of course the boss will get frustrated, you know, they can't do business for 6 weeks.
All go to waste.
To them is, we can understand that, you know.
So that's
why we prepared to go back
it's
to work.
A huge cost to the company.
So we prepared to go back to work, of course. So we went back. So we went back on Wednesday. So Thursday, we worked Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Friday, 2 afternoon or so, my boss was not around. Half day he went off already.
Okay.
Wednesday, Thursday. Then Friday he was around. Then after lunch, then suddenly somebody ring the bell.
Oh, okay.
So then my colleague, the secretary, opened the door. So it was police, you know.
Ayo.
So it's not really police, you know.
Somebody reported.
So we didn't know. We thought it's just a random check or whatever. You know, when we heard that it's police, so everybody get so scared. Then my secretary she really panicked, you know.
Wow,
the whole face become so white.
They call it pucat in Malay.
Pucat, So luckily my boss was around. So then we asked, she came to me. So I said, since boss is around, then we have to talk to boss, you know.
My
boss said, don't open the door.
No need to
so
open.
They kept ringing the door. So we did not open the door, you know. Think about five to 10 minutes, you know. After that, they came in. Few of them. So they went to came to our office. Our office is on the first floor and second floor, third floor, you know. So the production site is on the second floor. So they went and then they request for the IC. So I was and then he came to our, they came to our floor also lah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did not go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because my boss was, our floor only, only 3 hours, the secretary,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
myself,
yeah,
and my boss, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I did not go out. So I just let my boss handle lah, because because we also mentioned that, you know, our concern is because that just in case if the police catches us, you know, that is our concern.
Yeah, yeah.
So this thing really happened, you know.
Uh-huh.
So after that, then my boss talked to them. Then my boss also very a bit stressful also, and then he got a bit upset, of course, you know, because long time cannot operate, you know.
Yeah.
And then some more this police came up.
Yeah.
So and then the police asked them to check with the police station whether they are the genuine, because my boss suspect whether they are the genuine.
Yeah.
So after that, after they called to the police station, then another police car came again. So total I think about eight of them.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, at the end they managed to reconcile, not reconcile. They the police is kind enough to just give us a warning. They didn't
That's very good.
They say actually they can fine us.
Yeah, they can fine us.
But they didn't. They just give us a warning lah.
Yeah.
And then from the police, my boss knows that somebody made a complaint. That's why they came.
Must be. Otherwise they won't come. Yeah, they are so busy. They very got time for all this type of thing unless people tip them off. Yeah.
After the police left, then my boss got so angry also. He came to my room. He said, the police told him that it's one of our staff who make the report, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Who complained.
Yeah.
So he was so angry. And the whole face also turned red, you know.
He said,
y'all can pack up and go back. So then we go back, you know, Friday. After the police left, then we just get ready to go back.
Yeah.
Then after that, then our boss accused that we are the one, you know. I mean, not us lah. Is of course he said he knows who's the staff lah.
Yeah. The particular one.
Mm-hmm. So after that, and then all this staff also feel not so good lah, you know.
Yeah, more, you know? Moral wise.
So he didn't pinpoint anyone, but he told me he knows who lah, you know.
Yeah. So definitely the boss will know.
he said the police told him.
Yeah.
So after that, after my boss left and the police and my boss left, so we also get together, because after we start work, 3 days or so we never see each other, you know. Because of the we have to isolate. So everybody just did their thing lah, you know. So we never bother to say hello to each other also, because of the case is so serious.
They're not
close together.
Correct. Yes, better to avoid first.
So before we went back, so we just get together and then we talk about the incident. So the staff was so scared, and then suddenly one of my colleagues, she's so smart, she got the recording, you know.
Oh, okay.
With the police.
So
then we came to know that the police told us that actually somebody complained. Make a complaint. Actually, is somebody that he didn't mention because he said the police also told us that actually our office June already there are people coming came back to work.
Oh, okay.
So we said no, because actually it was closed. EMC, yeah, all the period all closed. We did not work. So we only started work 2 days only on Wednesday. So then what to do? Then we have to find a way to explain to our boss also lah, because he's so angry, you know. So then they asked me to explain to my boss also. So which I did. So I did, and then I managed to convince him lah, and then together with the video clip, you know. Managed to convince him, then he cooled down, and then he accepted. It was the next door.
That's
the big company, you know.
So
Bumi company. So we suppose they are the one now, because
they tip off
June, right? So and this thing resolved now. My boss also accepted it.
Very good. That's good. Sadhu. That's why to resolve issue amicably is very important, so that everybody can continue and move on with their whatever activity or life, so that there is no misunderstanding or negativity or mind state leading to unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict and argument. That is how Noble Eightfold Path will actually enable us to resolve issue amicably. Very good. So anything else?
So one thing Brother always say, you see, when you have the thought, you know, it always condition your mind.
Yes.
So just like my boss, you know, he accused my colleague because he had the negativity in the first place. We wanted to come back to work, because this girl, you know, she gives some
gives some comment.
She gives some comments, and then some so that's how he had the adverse reaction towards her lah. So and then when the police actually after that, then my colleague told me, because she overheard the police told my boss that somebody make a complaint, but they cannot reveal
who is the one.
But my boss just thought that the police he told me the police told him that somebody from the office, you know. So because of his negativity lah, that condition his mind lah, you know. So when the police told him, then he just assumed that that's the one lah, you know.
That's why straight away you come to that conclusion, the boss.
Because
they already not happy with that staff, and he commented. This thing happened in life. So finally, what was the outcome, our decision? Stop the whole office operation until further notice, or?
We have to pack and go.
To advise.
So, we have to wait until further notice to reopen. Should be the phase two lah. Recurring.
So in the meantime, maybe can try to apply to METI, because after all this pressure, I think they'll be more lenient. they are very worried.
I think they are going to start soon now, because anyway now.
Yeah, a lot of people complaining already. Cannot
going to be 8 weeks,
Yes, it's very serious. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Affecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
Very good.
So that I'm happy that after I explained to my boss, then
he accepted.
He's convinced,
you know,
he accepted it.
Very good, Sadhu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I want to share.
Ah, okay. So let us rejoice with all the good sharing from Elsie. Yeah? Sadhu.